to celebrate their 50th anniversary that's coming up. Everyone is invited to join them at the top afterwards. I think it's a big occasion. 50th anniversary. Well done. Amen. Let's just pray. Father, we just thank you for this morning. We just thank you for what you're doing, Father. And I just pray that hearts will be open and receptive to what you want to do here this morning. Father, you want to minister to each and every single one of us. You want to change us, and you want to breathe life into our hearts. And Father, you want to change our minds, and you want us to fulfill everything that you have set before us to do. So we just ask for a great time as you just lead us and guide us in Jesus' name. Amen. I just want to share on something, and before I start, I just want to say, you know, we often come here to church and we listen to a word, and sometimes we don't really hear or we don't fully receive the message that is brought. And I just want to tell you this, is sometimes we need to open our hearts, because there may be a message that's brought to you that just might be the message that changes your life forever. You speak to a lot of people who really are walking in the ways of God and are doing the work of God. Something is, there's usually a few things, but there's something which they heard which changed their life forever. Something that resonated with inside of them, which they said, that is me, and I hear that, and I need to do something about it. So, you know, these times, these times of breaking up in the word so that we can hear it. It says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. So the more we hear the word, the more faith is built up in us so that we can change. We don't only need to hear the word, we need to apply it. And the word that I'm bringing, I think, affects a lot of us. And this just may be a word which can change your life. And I really mean it, because this word is real and it's practical. And when we give things to God, He works. We hear because we believe God, but sometimes we hold back. Sometimes we quite don't believe that God can do or intervene in an area of our life, but He can. What it takes is for us to be courageous and to be bold and say, it's time I stepped out into that area that I hear. And I'm praying that God is going to break through in this area of our lives, which I believe is holding many of us back. And as I was going through this message, as I prayed, I got a picture that I believe the Holy Spirit gave me. And around each and every one of us, there was a box, a wooden box. And we were sitting in this wooden box, and it was around us like this. It had four walls and a top. But nothing was holding this box together. It wasn't nailed together. It wasn't glued together. It was just sitting together like us. And we were sitting inside this box. And we were restrained and held captive in this box. And everything that Jesus and God has promised us was outside this box. But some of us are still sitting within this box. And all it takes is actually just to push open these walls of this box and to break out into what God has for us. And I'm trusting that this word that I'm going to share is going to do that for you. And I want you to see, as I minister, if you may be sitting in this box, if there's things in your lives which you're sitting in there that you need to break out of so that you can walk into the promises of what God has. There's a saying that says, as a man sees, so he is. So the way you see yourself is how you'll conduct yourself. And I want to ask you, how are you seeing yourself? Do you have fears? Do you have anxiety? Do you have certain complexions? Do you maybe suffer from low esteem? Are you maybe shy? Do you maybe have a nervous disposition? Do you maybe lack confidence? Is there something you don't like about yourself physically? Do you sometimes feel mentally challenged? These are real things. And I think a lot of us have these things which hold us back. So if you have some of these things, if you are suffering from some of these things, if you have some anxiety, if you have things that you see is holding you back, this message can help you. Because this is how you see yourself. You see, why do you have these negative feelings? Why do we have these things sometimes? Well, I'll ask you, who have you been giving ear to? Who are you allowing to speak into your life? Why do you see yourself in a certain way? Well, you see, as we grow up, and as we are growing up, and wherever we are in life, we come across people, and we go to school, and people say things about us. Our parents put things upon us. Our teachers tell us certain things, and these things start labeling us, and they start hindering us, and we start believing these negative things mostly that people put on us, and they tell us, you are shy, you are useless, you're not quite intelligent, you overweight, you've got a big nose, you've got no concentration. These are real things which people have labeled us through our lives, and we've taken them on, and these things hinder us. They hold us back in life. You see, we start believing these things that people have told us, that the world starts forming us and fashioning us. And as we're going to hear, it's not the world that forms us and fashions us. It's our God. He created us. But you see, before we knew him, we didn't know these things. So we started putting these labels on us. And guess what? They started to outwork in our lives. We started to believe, I'm not quite confident. I have anxiety problems. I'm sickly. My family's got certain curses which we've inherited, which we can't break through. My father had a certain thing. He brought me up in a certain way, so that's who I am. But that is not true, you see. We look at adverts, and we look at TV, and we look at magazines, and we look at films, and they give us this perfect little picture of how we're supposed to be. And you see, people, because we have got selfish ambitions, we put each other down. And when we're in the world, people will put you down and try and step on you and try and put you in your place so that they can elevate themselves. But we get hurt in the process. And it affects us. And it stays with us. And it can keep us bound in that box. You see, I remember when I was at school, a teacher said something to me which affected me for many, many years. And I know a lot of us, people have said something to us that has affected us. I walked into the class and I could have been quite a disruptive person. And I was playing around and I was in class and I was sitting there and I was messing around with one of my friends. And the teacher said to me, keep quiet, you red-headed freak. And that affected me. And I had to deal with that. And the funny thing is, a lot of us have this. And a lot of us have been through it. It's not only me. You see, it was not only that. You go through school and people call your names and do certain things. And it's not only the people that are perceived to be ugly or out of shape that get this. My brother Etienne, that Thora knows very well, is an amazingly good-looking guy. He used to win competitions, and he's dark and handsome and big and strong, and he's got, you look at him and he's flawless, yet inside he's so broken. He believes when he leaves a room, people are talking about him. And he's more broken than I am because of Jesus Christ. So we all have this, no matter where we are, we have this brokenness. We have these labels that are put on us, and today, we need to strip those labels off. We need to break through from these things that the world has put on us, that teachers, parents, friends, peers, bosses, colleagues, whoever have put on us, and we've held on to them. Because they've formed us and they've actually fashioned us and they've actually changed us. But you see, I've got good news. That's why the gospel is called good news. It's not only about salvation. Jesus has done far more for us than just saved us. We're going to heaven, but he's actually given us much, much more. And I want to share some of the things that he's done. You have been given so much in Jesus Christ. I just want you to know, and I'm going to speak words of life into you today. Words that are going to break through the labels. And I want you to go through some of these labels which may be hindering you. Some of the things that have been holding you back that you think you have, but really are lies. As I speak truth into your life, because I'm going to speak what Jesus says about you, because it's not about what the world thinks. And can I tell you, it's not even what you think about yourself. Do you know that? You need to start changing your thinking. It's what Jesus says you are. Because the Lord fashioned and formed you in your mother's womb to be perfect. So you need to start thinking what Jesus says about you. You have no legitimate reason for failing to be an awesome success in life. I'm going to tell you that again. You have no reason to be a failure. You have every reason to be a success in your life because Jesus has promised it. In fact, you've got more going for you than you even know. And that's why I want to break open some of the words so that you know the promises that you have and how awesome you are actually in Christ. So I want to encourage you today what Jesus Christ has given you. He came and suffered so that we do not have to suffer. He came and took labels on his life so we don't have to have labels. We are free and we are liberated and we are successful in Christ. I want you to turn to John 1, verse 12 and 13. Now I encourage you to open your Bibles, those that have them here, and start looking into your Bible. Because when you open these scriptures, it's life. It speaks to you. It changes to you. Okay? It's power and it's effective. So don't just hear, take this in and read it. Mark in your Bible, underline it, remember it, go through it. Because what happens is if you want to change, you need to be washing yourself continuously with this word so that we can change our mind. So John 1, verse 12 and 13 says, "But to all, each and every single person who received him, Jesus Christ, to all who received Jesus Christ, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." You are a child of the living God who were born not of blood. Listen to this. You were born not of blood, nor of the will of your flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Do you know that there's no mistakes? You weren't a mistake. Your parents didn't create you. You weren't even born according to their will. You were born according to the truth, according to the word, according to God, according to his will. There's no mistakes in life. You're not a mistake. You're a success, born for great things. But that's great, and I don't know what version Bible you read. Read different versions, because different versions make it clearer and sometimes are more powerful. And I just want to read that verse in the old King James Version because it captures it a lot better. It says, "But as many as received him, he," God, "gave the power." He gave the power to become the sons of God. So you didn't just become God's, he's given you the power to become the Son of God and everything you need. "Even them that believe in his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God." So this verse reveals that you have received divine power. You, sitting there, have got divine power the day you became a child of God. Please receive it. Please know about it. Take those labels about it and say to yourself, "I've got divine power living in me the day I became a child of God." And that word power, in this verse, is the Greek word. Are there any Greeks here? Okay, we had many Greeks in our home church, so every time we used to say a Greek word, they used to correct us. But the Greek word is exousia. Exousia. If you read the original Greek, it's been translated into English, so we always don't capture the power and the essence of what the word is saying. It describes delegated authority or influence. So I want you to know that you have got delegated power, authority, and influence. Amen. Put that label onto yourself. You. Okay? That's what that word means. It's not maybe. God has promised it to you if you understand it. So he delegated you to have power and authority to become his child and to be partakers of his divine nature. His divine nature. Not the nature your teacher told you and cursed you with. Not the nature that even our parents do the best job they can and our grandparents and whoever. But that is not the nature. You've been given a new nature, a divine nature. And you've been qualified to become an heir of all God's promises and an entrance into the kingdom. You need to know that because it will change you forever. 2 Peter 1, verse 3 to 4. Oh, sorry, 2 Peter 1 up to 4. I'm just going to read verse 3 and 4. It says, His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him. What are we doing here this morning? We're receiving knowledge of him. And the more knowledge we receive of him, the more divine power flows into your life. And I want you to hear this. Who called you and me to his own glory and excellence. You are excellent. You're not a failure. You haven't missed the mark. God will tell you that you are excellent. He's called you into his glory and he's called you into his excellence. Put that label on you. All right, now, take off that other label and put on that one. You are excellent because Jesus says so. And he's the one that counts. But which he granted to us, his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become, listen to this, partakers of the divine nature. Who wants to be like Jesus? I want to be like Jesus. He's perfect. He walked with power. He walked with influence. He walked with authority. He had no hang-ups. Nothing got him down. We've been given that divine nature. So that old you, put aside now, today, and put on the divine nature of Jesus Christ. This is mind-blowing. This is what Jesus has done for us. He didn't just come to give us salvation. He came to give us everlasting life and life in abundance. Everything that pertains to life and godliness, he has given us. Amazing. Having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desires. So all those things that the world put on me, told me that you are this, you are useless, drop maths, you're never going to be anything, you'll never come to anything, you are stupid, you're ugly, you get whatever, you can't get girls. The world puts it on you. Do you know that all of that counts as nothing? They're gone. They no longer have a hold on me and they should not have a hold on you because I now have the character of Christ. I walk in freedom and in liberty because his nature dwells in me. Hallelujah. Guys, we need to catch this. Take off those old labels and put on your new life. Put on your new nature now, today, this very second. So let's think about this for a moment. All the power, authority, and divine influence that is resident within the mighty name of Jesus came to live inside of you. I mean, that's just awesome. You wonder why people go around into nations telling people about Jesus Christ. Because if you're not doing it, you haven't quite caught the concept of who you are and what force and power and influence is residing within you. I tell you, it just wells up. You've got to feel it welling up in you. That everything else, that darkness and those lies are just disappearing in your life right now. Those old labels are actually gone. It says you've escaped those things. They are gone. And you are a new you. Who else can give you that? Jesus Christ can. I mean, wow, what a message. Romans 8:11. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, isn't it a promise? Jesus said it. It's in the Word. We believe the Word. The Holy Spirit dwells in you. He who raised Jesus from the dead will also give life. See, this is not only life, this is not only eternal life, it's life in abundance, it's freedom, it's liberation, it's power, it's influence, it's measure, it's the right thinking, it's the right doing, it's the right actions, it's a life He has given you to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Hallelujah. So rather than complain that you are weak and nothing special and going through hardships, and battling, we do it, you know? Woe is me, I've got this, my parents have this, I've got this weakness, not quite intelligence, I wasn't given the looks, stop complaining now, today. Remove those labels. It's time to start laying claim to what is stored up inside of you. You've got a wealth of treasure within you. You've got the fullness of the Godhead dwelling within you. Jesus Christ promised us that He loves my Father. We will come and make our home in you. The fullness of the Godhead dwelling in you. Jesus didn't do a half job when He died on the cross, guys. He didn't die on the cross, go through everything that He went through, was beaten, came from His throne room of God, all power and authority, came here as man, dwelt with us, ridiculed, spat on, beaten, betrayed, hung on a cross, shamed, died, and rose. He didn't do it to do a half job for you, to come and say, well, you know, I've done a little bit. He's done the full work. He's given us new life. He's changed everything. He took all that punishment and all that shame and all that guilt and all those labels. He took it. He's taken it, and He's given you everything that He is. Wow. Amazing. It's a lot to take in, but take it in. Take it in. Because it's awesome. It changes your life today. Your life can be changed forever. So that same explosive, dynamic, phenomenal authority and power that resides within Jesus, that we saw in Him, resides in Him, has now been delegated to reside in you for your use. Not just to lay there, not just to talk about it and say, it's nice what Jesus has done, but, you know, I'm not quite sure how to attain it. No, it's there. Use it, the fullness of it. So if that's not enough, I'm going to share some more good news. I'm going to tell you some more what Jesus has done for you. I'm going to give you some more revelation. We did the Christmas play, and it says, you know, the best Christmas gift you can get is Jesus Christ, and that's so true. It is the best gift that you can receive, Jesus Christ, because He's done so much. He changes us. He gives us new life. 2 Corinthians 5:17. I read a lot of scriptures. Write them down. Read them. Meditate on them. Receive them. Claim them. Make them your own. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. This is mind-blowing, but it's so real and so simple that we receive this. You are a new creation. You see, the world will keep telling you that you are not. You still, Craig. You still that. Remember the past. Remember those things. Remember your family. Remember the history. You are not. You are a brand new creation. And I'm going to expound on that. You see, it says, the old has passed away. The old, not is passing away, not as you push into Jesus, it will start fading away. In an instant, it says the old has passed away. All those things that have held you back and have labeled you and have brought sickness and anxiety and fear and all those things have passed away. Behold, the new has come. See, the problem is we just don't walk in it. It's all there. The full potential has been given to you. The new has come. So this verse tells us that you are a brand new creature if you are in Christ Jesus. You are a brand new creature. The word new is from the Greek word again, kainos. Kainos. New doesn't quite do it. If you go back to the old Greek word, it had so much depth and meaning. It describes something that is brand new or recently made. So you are brand new. You've been recently made. And I'm going to touch on it. You're not a patch job, you see. God didn't just patch. He didn't take the old you and patch things on you. He actually made you brand new. Let go of the old. Okay? Because this is what Jesus has done for you. It also carries the idea of something, if you look at that word, go look it up, kainos, something that is superior. You are a new, superior you. Wow. I am a new, superior me, and you are a new, superior you. Why? Because we have Jesus dwelling in us. If you start walking in this, you will change. You will see it. You'll see the effects. You'll see how it changes you. This is not me. This is what the word says. And this is what Jesus promised us. This is why he came. This is why he went. This is why he said, when I go, I'm sending you the promise of the Holy Spirit so you can have all of this. There's so much to share for people in Christmas. I'll tell you what, this is a great revelation if we grab hold of it. So this means that when Jesus came to your life, you were made brand spanking new. And the new year you is superior to the old you. Why would you want to walk in the old you when you've been given a brand new superior you? In fact, you've been called a new creature or a new creation. So, when I was reading that, I just thought about a car. And you see these TV programs where somebody takes an old car, beautiful old car, but it's all rusted and dings and bangs, and they respray it, and they tune the engine, and they put tires on, and you've got this new car. Well, that's not you. That's not what this word says. He doesn't say he takes you, and he fixes you up. And he changes some things, and he makes you a little bit better, and he improves on you. Jesus doesn't say that. What he says is the old you is completely gone and you are brand new. You are a brand new creation, not a patch job. I don't know if you've seen the Transformers, and I forget what that guy's name, I think it's Bumblebee, and he's that Corvette, I think, that yellow one. And then he's going, and then he's sort of like a patched up job. Then all of a sudden, in an instant, he's a brand new, latest model Corvette with these exhaust pipes and this engine that comes out. That's you. You've become brand spanking new. I mean, that's amazing. The old is gone, and the new is here. So that word, that same word, which says creature, I looked it up in the Greek again. Look up the Greek. It's wonderful to go back to the Greek. The Greek word is kitsis. Kitsis. And that word is the same word, if you look, which describes when Jesus created the world. So when God created the world, when it goes back and says and describes the creation of the world, it uses that word kitsis, which is the same word that says you are a brand new creature. It's the same word. So what that means is when God created the world, he used no existing materials, no old elements to make creation. He made it out of nothing. You see, God didn't take an old world and say, oh, he has a little bit of old mud here and a little bit of dust and he has a rock and let me make it. No, God made it out of nothing. You see, God is the creator. He said, let there be. And he created the world out of nothing. And he's created the new you out of nothing. Out of the Holy Spirit, the old you is dead. And he has placed a completely new you into you through the Holy Spirit, the nature of Christ residing in you. You've got to understand this. So stop patching yourself up. Stop trying to make yourself better. Just put it off and put on the brand new you, which God has given you out of nothing, out of what Jesus Christ has done for us through the Holy Spirit placed in you right now. There's nothing you have to do. Do you know that? The problem is we try and change ourselves and we try and fix ourselves and we try and patch ourselves up. And that's not what Christianity is all about. That's not what Jesus has done for us. He's created a brand new you. He's given you a new life. So everything about you is new. You are not a mended, corrected, improved version of what you used to be. Sometimes we think, oh, I'm improving, I'm getting corrected, I'm changing. No, you are brand new. Everything about you is new. You see, even the memories that define you, you need to let go of, because most of them are negative and most of them hold you back. You've been given the Holy Spirit memory. You've been given what Jesus has done for you, and he's told you that you are successful, and he's created you for good works, and he's enabled you, and he's given you gifts, and you can do all things in him. That's brand new. Don't pat yourself. So you need to see yourself differently. The strange thing is you might look in the mirror and you say, but I still see the old me. The problem is, if you really look at yourself, you're looking at a brand new you. You changed from the inside. I don't know if you've ever seen that picture of this little cat and he's looking into the mirror and then you see behind him and you see this little cat, and when he's looking into the mirror, he sees a lion. How do you see yourself? Do you see yourself as this little kitten? And you look in the mirror and, whoa, it's me, and, oh, curses, and I got this problem, and, oh, shame at this, and, oh, the people say this about me, and they pick on me, and when I go into a room, I'm not quite as intelligent as those people, and I can't carry myself in the way that he does. That's the old you. You see, when you look in the mirror, you must see a new you. You must see a lion. You must see the Lion of Judah. You must see Jesus Christ. You must see all the abilities and success that he's laid on you so that you can go into life and do what God has created you to do, and that's to carry influence, to carry power, and to do the work that he wants you to do, because you can only do it when you're brand new. You see, I love the verse where Jesus says in Matthew 16, 13 to 18, Jesus comes around his disciples. You see, Jesus knew who he was, and he didn't allow the world to label him. He never allowed it. He knew who he was because he knew who his Father told him he was. And you need to know who Father says you are. You see, Jesus said to his disciples, who do people say I am? Who do people say I am? And they said, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, some say Jeremiah, some say a prophet. He said, you know what? I don't care. Who do you say I am? So stop worrying about what people are telling you are, or even maybe what your mind and people put on you are telling you are. You need to know who you are, who Father says you are, because that's what matters. That was Jesus' secret, you see. He didn't allow people to say, you're just the son of a carpenter. You're just Joseph. You're from Nazareth. Nothing good comes out of Nazareth. No, no, no. I come from the seed of heaven. God the Father is my Father. I come from him. I'm doing his work. I'm returning to him. He's enabled me and he's filled me and he's given me everything I need. And so he's given it to us. You see, you're not Joe Bloggs from the South, whose parents is so-and-so, who was an alcoholic, who went to school here and was told this. That's not you. You see, you are the Son of God. You sit in heavenly places. You're here for a reason and you're returning home to be with your Father. That's who you are. Psalms 103 verse 12 tells us how far our old ways have been removed from us. You see, there's so many promises and so much power in the word which sets us free. It says in Psalms 103 verse 12, as far as the east is from the west. How far is the east from the west? I don't know. Can anyone give me a measurement? It's so far. So far does he remove our transgressions. Transgressions are the labels that have been put on you. Those old labels. that the world has tried to define you, or so far are those labels removed from you now in Christ. As far as the east is from the west, give them up. When Jesus came into your life, he created you, listen to this, to be free from your past. He created you, when he came into your life, to be free from your past. Don't hold on to your past. Let go. Jesus has dealt with it. We've got good memories from the past, that's great. But I can tell you, most of them hold us back. Most of them continue to form us and fashion us. Most of them define decisions we'll make, how we'll see ourselves. As a man is, so he sees. Do you walk into a room, or do you walk into a room filled with courage and boldness and the fullness of God? Not to be arrogant. I'm telling you, that's why the word says humble. Humble yourself, because we can get arrogant and so bold. When we walk in with God, I tell you, we just want to just take ground for him. So we do have to humble and just learn to be this new you, because this new you is, you know, got a V8 that just wants to go. So he created you to be free from your past. If that's not liberating, I don't know what is. Because I can tell you, every single ailment, every single problem, every single intellectual hindrance that you have, every single roadblock is from the past. And you're free from that. Free from negative effects of your family. You see, so much of us are affected from our families, from curses from before, from who our families are, the status that they had, that it holds us back and hinders us. Or you're free from that. You now belong to the king of the world. That's who you are. Reborn into a new family. That's what the word says. You are a new family. You got a new father. You are royalty. You are a priest. You are a king. You are liberated, and I'm going to tell you this from now, you are liberated from all your hang-ups. No more hang-ups. We praise God. Thank you, God, for everything you've done. God, you're so glorious and you're so amazing. Well, he is. So you got no more hang-ups. Stop complaining. There are no hang-ups in your life. That was the old you. That was the car which has now been rolled into that garage and you put the lock on now. You now got the new you. All former hang-ups. So today, stop laying claim to your family's genetic problems, inheritable sickness, dysfunctional behavior, disorders, hang-ups, curses, or any other negative thing that was a part of your life before Christ. Let go of it now. Today, we're going to let go of it. We're going to drop it because it doesn't belong to you. That old person no longer exists. He died. The word says this, doesn't it? Those old hang-ups, that old past no longer exists. He died. And you are brand new. But wait, there's a little bit more. Just when you thought it was getting good, I just want to tell you how good it actually gets. How good Jesus Christ actually is. I tell you, when you say Jesus Christ, you're going to say it in a new way, because Jesus is all. He's everything. Jesus Christ has given us everything. Ephesians 2:10 says something which is amazing. It says, we are his workmanship. I tell you, you think you're failing. It is such a lie, because you are God's workmanship. You just need to walk in it and you just need to claim it. You were created in Christ for good works. Do you think Christ wants his work to be done? Do you think God wants the world to be changed? Do you think he wants all people to hear the gospel? Yes, he does. Do you know that you were created for those good works? Do you think God's going to create a failure to do his work, to overcome the world, to push back the forces of darkness, to heal the sick? No. He created you in excellence. He created you for good works. He created you, which God prepared beforehand that you should walk in them. See, the reason you're not walking in them is because you think you're not qualified, because you think you can't do it. But when you grab hold of this, is that God has actually created you for good works so that you can work in them. And the old you is gone, the ones that thought you couldn't do it, and now you're the new you, and you're going to start walking in them, okay? Good. Are we going to do some Greek again? See, the first part of the scripture says we are God's workmanship. And that word, workmanship, comes from the Greek word, poema. Poema. And the word poema carries the idea of something that is artfully created. You are artfully created. Not just put together, not a slapdash. God artfully and skillfully created you. The Greek word for poet, as we know, poet comes from that word. Poema, it comes from poetus, comes from the same word. And in reference to a poet, the Greek word would denote one who has the extraordinary ability to write or create a literary masterpiece. Do you know that you are a masterpiece? I'm telling you, because the word says so. So you're not a failure. You're not that old thing. You are an absolute masterpiece that God created. Whew. I'm a masterpiece. I believe it. You can either believe it or you can let it go. But either you're going to work as a new masterpiece created skillfully by God himself, going and doing his work, changing the world, changing nations, feeling good about yourself, carrying the authority and the power and the influence of the Holy Spirit, walking around filled with the Holy Spirit, knowing that you are skillfully and created workmanship of God and that you are a masterpiece. You know, that might be bragging, but God said it. So I'll do it humbly. What's that word? I'm humble, but I'm proud of it. You see, Paul chose that word very carefully when he used it to explain what happened when you became a child of God. It emphatically means that on the day you got saved, God put forth his most powerful and creative effort to make you new. You see, he created all this earth, but he put in even more creative and more effort into creating you new. So, once God finished making you new, you became a masterpiece. You are a masterpiece. Tell yourself next time when you get back in the mirror, look at yourself in the mirror and tell yourself, and I'm telling you, you need to do it. Tell yourself that you are a masterpiece, created in God for good works to do what he's called you to do. Wonderful. Masterpiece. Skillfully and artfully created in Christ Jesus. That's who you are because you're loved by him. There is nothing cheap about you. You see, Jesus came and died for you. He loved you. You were worthy for him to die. If it was just you, he would have come and died for you. Because you are worthy. You are not cheap. You see, the world would try and sell you cheap. The world would want to try and push you down. Satan would want to come to steal, kill, and destroy all the rights and the masterpiece that you are so he can use you for his own because he knows how wonderfully made you are. And he wants to use you for his own work. So you look in the mirror and you say that you are a masterpiece skillfully made by God the Father himself and created for good works. God's creative artistic intelligence genius, I'm going to say that again, God's creative artistic intelligence genius went into your making. And God is all-powerful. He's all-knowing. He's amazing. Just look at his creation. Nothing compares to you. And I'm nearly finished before we pray. Psalms 139:13 says, "For you, Father, formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. So look how much God has given you in Christ Jesus." He personally knitted you and formed you and created you skillfully and artfully in your mother's womb. So don't you think it's time to stop moaning how dumb, stupid, ugly, or untalented you feel compared to others? Because that's not who you are. Stop it. Those feelings are all lies and none of them are true in Christ Jesus. God has turned you into something spectacular. That's who you are. That's who you are. I tell you, hang around with people who tell you that. That's why we fellowship. That's why we go to church. That's why we hang around with people who are filled with the Holy Spirit, because they'll tell you who you are. You are spectacular in Christ Jesus. So go and be spectacular to those around you. Go be spectacular to the world. Go be spectacular in your workplace, wherever the Holy Spirit takes you. Today, lay claim of your new identity. That's what Jesus did for us. If Paul was preaching all days, this is exactly what he'd be preaching. Lay claim now of your new identity in Christ Jesus. Are you a man pleaser or a God pleaser? Because if you're going to be a man pleaser, they're going to label you, and you're going to take those labels and you're going to walk in those labels. I tell you what, get a thick skin. Thick skin, cool head, and a warm heart. But don't let any person label you. No man has got the right to label you, only God, because you are his. And you're spectacular, and you're a masterpiece. So are you looking backwards, and do you keep coming across hurdles and roadblocks? Or today, change it. The problem is you're looking back at the old you, and you need to look forward. Because the past will haunt you, and it will keep you locked up in that box. But if you look at the future, what Jesus has done, the world is yours to go and change. Romans 12:2 says, do not be conformed to this world. Okay? I'm going to tell you, do not be conformed to this world. We're not of this world. We're in this world, but we're not of this world. But be transformed. How? By the renewal of your mind. I hope your minds are getting renewed here today. Renewed, changed, renewed, transformed. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Transformed by the renewal of your mind. When you look at the mirror today, see somebody else. See the new you and give God glory. It says, transformed by the renewal of your mind. And it's instant. That by the testing, God tests us. Yes, we're going to go through tests. Why? So that we can see the new you. You see, God, all these tests that you're going through is that God can show you the new you. As long as you hold on to the old you, you're always going to fail in these tests. But the new you will overcome it, and you'll move on, and you'll grow, and the new you will come out and become who you are. Okay? That you may discern what is the will of God, and what is the good and acceptable, and what is good and acceptable and perfect. You see, again, Paul encourages us what he learned and applied to himself. See, Paul knew. He said, I count all this as nothing compared to what Jesus gave me. He was labeled as a Pharisee, as the man of man's. You know, in the flesh, he didn't sin, but he said, I count it as nothing to what Jesus has given me. Jesus has given me even more than all of that. He says in Colossians 3, 1, 2, 3, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above. Guys, lift your eyes. Take your eyes off this world, of what this world is giving you. I know we're in this world, and I know we've got to work, but what I'm saying is lift your eyes off these things and look at the things that are above. Believe these things, apply these things, live these things that come from above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds now. Now, set your mind. It takes something in your heart. It's not just right now, set your mind. Set your mind on things on high, on things of God, on the things that are above, not the things that are on earth. They'll hold you back, they'll put roadblocks, they'll keep you in the box. Set your mind on the things above. For you have, the old you has died. Whew, dead, gone. You have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And Galatians 2:20 says, Thora makes us learn the scripture as a family. I have been crucified with Christ. I have been crucified with Christ. My labels, my curses, my old life, what that teacher said is, the Holy Spirit just reminded me of that when I was writing this message. That thing, it was gone. I forgave a long time ago. That was the old me that was affected by that. those things don't affect me anymore. Because now I believe what Jesus says about me and what godly people tell me. So I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live. I'm no longer Craig. I believe it. That old Craig, I'm telling you, he's not me. And I believe it and I apply it and I take hold of it. Somebody different. And it's wonderful and it's liberating. And it's the best thing you can ever experience. Best thing you can ever want. It is no longer I live, but Christ who lives in me. Christ makes me this masterpiece. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me so that I can have a new life and have it in abundance. So, I'm going to close with this thought and then we're going to maybe pray and do some body ministry if we need to. We need to let go of the past. It is not what you look like, or it's not about how you feel. It's all about what you believe. Amen. So, let's stop being self-centered and let's be Christ-centered. If any of this resonates with you, and you want to stand up and say, I'm going to let these old labels go. This old self is now dead. Those things that have hindered me and held me back in the past, today I'm standing up and I'm letting go of those things. I want you to stand up so we can pray power into your lives, so that you can be liberated and free, that you can let the power of the Holy Spirit start ruling and reigning in your life, so that you can start seeing yourself as this masterpiece that Jesus created. And I don't know if the band's here, but maybe we need to sing that one song about, if we can. Was it, oh Jesus, you came and done something for the Lamb, that song. If you want those old labels to be gone, if things are hindering you, there's still roadblocks in your life, you need to stand. Now, stand. If you see those things in your life, if you truly haven't been transformed, if you still see the old holding you back, let's stand and let's change our minds right now. Let's be renewed, let's be refreshed, let's be liberated and let's be freed in Jesus' name. So I'm going to pray and then when I'm finished praying, let's just worship God. Let's just let the new you just reign and rule in your life. Let's bow our heads and pray. And I want you, as I pray, just search yourself and just think of those things that have been hurting you, that have been holding you back, that have been lying to you, and that has been forming and fashioned you in a way that you know is not of God. So Father, as we stand here before you, I just pray that you will remove the old, that you'll take away the past hurts, that right now as your promises come, it's only by you, Jesus Christ, that we are freed and that you put the new you, the new me into our lives and into our hearts. Father, if we've had these roadblocks and if we've had these hurts and if the past has held us back, I just break it right now in Jesus' name. I just pray that this word will infiltrate the minds and the hearts of the people here, your people that have heard it, that from now on we can walk in newness, we can walk in freedom, we can walk in liberty. Father, that we know that we are masterpieces skillfully created by you personally. Father, thank you for everything that you have done for us. We are bold and we are wonderful. May we go and do the works that you have created us to do. I pray this right now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let the Son of God enfold you with His Spirit and His love. Let Him fill your heart and satisfy your soul. Let Him have the things that hold you, and His Spirit like a dove will descend upon your life. Make you whole. Jesus, oh Jesus. fill your lamps, Jesus, oh Jesus, come and fill your lamps. Oh, come and sing a song of gladness as your hearts are filled with joy. Lift your hands in sweet surrender to His name. Give Him all your tears and sadness. Give Him all your years of pain. And you'll enter into life in Jesus' name. It's Jesus, oh Jesus.
Lord. If anyone wants prayer, please come to the front. If you want ministry, come to the front. Remember to join Christian Bueller for their 50th anniversary celebration at the Above. Bless you all and go home safely and changed. Amen.